You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
The goal is for the community to get that support from each other. Like, that's the dream. Yes. That's
it's not just call Maureen. It's
Maureen's only got so much time. And I love to point people in that direction as much as possible. But the real rich benefit of community is that people can ask each other that support and then hopefully pass it on to the next person that, you know, comes to ask them a question. And it becomes, I mean, that's the beauty of an ecosystem, right? Is that they all support each other. So my goal is to use what I've learned from my lifetime of experience in building my business and running a co-working space to help set up the systems that other people are going to benefit from to get what they need and then pass it on to somebody else who's going to get what they need. And it's just going to grow out like this big spider web of resources.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to Rochester Business Connections on the Real Business Connection Network. I am here with Maureen Ballatore. Maureen, what's up? How are you today?
Hello. It's a beautiful day today. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you. I'm so excited for all that's ultimately our conversation is going to be great because you launched something new. We'll get there in a second. You are a woman of many hobbies, many masteries, many services, many businesses. I wrote it down so I wouldn't mess up. 29 Design Studio, Port 100 Cowork, and most recently the founder of Metro Collective. Where do we begin? Lots of moving parts, Maureen. You obviously keep busy.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I used to have great joy in people asking me how I did it all. And there was a lot of burnout back in those days. Now I am very proud to say I have a team that helps run all of these things smoothly and efficiently. And it's a pleasure to be able to have them all and myself, we're all working toward the same goal.
I love it. And let's get into that in just a second. But you mentioned burnout. Mm. A lot of people are feeling that during COVID. What did you do what drives you that even when you were feeling that struggle and burnout, you're like, I'm still going to keep going. I'm going to build this team. Like, what is your vision? What's your reason behind all this?
Yeah. So I hired a coach a year or two ago, a couple years ago, Maria Cast from Core Leadership Development. And some of the best lessons she taught me were to listen to myself, right? And what were some of the things that were maybe not aligning with what direction I really wanted to go? So understanding what was draining my energy and what was giving me energy so that I could do away with the things that were not serving me and the direction that I wanted to go by shedding those and not doing them anymore really helped me have significantly better alignment in my day-to-day and more focus on what I really wanted to build.
And let's talk about those things. So what does give you energy? What are you building? Why are you excited to build it? I know you have three businesses, but they all kind of work beautifully together in unison, right?
Yeah.
How does that work? Yeah. What are you building here?
So I love solving creative problems. And I think that's one of the threads that kind of unites all of those enterprises together. But so just to go through each one of them briefly and then explain that thread a little bit more. 29 Design Studio is a creative agency for food, beverage, and agriculture brands. So we serve clients all over the country, and we do strategy, creative execution of brand building. So that might be logo creation, social media, email management, that sort of stuff. When I was first starting that, I thought I wanted to work from home. Let's just say it wasn't for me. So I started working in a co-working space. And in the early days, that was helping to feed my clients. So that's Port 100 Co-work, which has locations in downtown Geneva and downtown Rochester. And honestly, that's a big passion project. It feeds my soul and helps me serve the community more than it fills my wallet, because it doesn't, you know. But I love having something that is a good service to the community and helps give small businesses a place to work and grow, just like I needed a place to work and grow for 29. And the culture and community that I found in Port 100, I think, was one of the major reasons why I was able to grow 29 in the way that I did, because I had someone next to me that I remember this one day. I took my first call from a client who wanted to go on retainer. And I said, yeah, that sounds great. You know, I'll drop the paperwork and I'll send it over. I hung up the phone and I said to the guy next to me, have you ever done a retainer contract? I hadn't even done one before. I didn't know how to do that. So the community that was available to me through the co-working space is one of the major reasons I thrived. So the creation of Metro Collective was born out of that. We want to help co-working spaces create community within their own spaces so that the people that are in them can thrive, and also serve folks that are maybe working from home and are still looking for that same sense of community. So Metro Collective unites people in shared space communities so that they can get the resources that they need to be able to grow their business, find a new coworker, somebody to grab coffee with, all of those things. So it comes out of my desire to build community and connection for all of those enterprises in a unique way.
I love this. So you start with 29 Design and you love collaborating, you love helping businesses, you love building community, and then the rest is kind of just trickle down from that passion. And mm-hmm. now, so Metro Collective just launched like this month, or it's March now, so it just launched in February, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right.
And so obviously we love to build community, we love to network, we love to not just sit in a room alone, quietly staring at the wall. So is that the purpose, to come together, or is there more, it's more so than just chatting, right? Well, what's the bigger purpose of building this community and in this networking community? That is, that, would you consider it a networking community? How would you define it?
Yeah, so it's a little bit more broad than that. It's helping people find the resources that they need, and helping folks. It's primarily for folks who are operating shared space communities to apply the Metro Collective, so they become powered by Metro Collective, and their community is strengthened as a result of our platforms and systems. And so what that includes is we have a virtual community that can be accessed by anybody for free at any time. And if you're part of a shared space community, you get kind of a nested channel in that where you can chatter with the people that are in your space. So it's sort of like nested Slack channels, if you sort of think about it that way, with a broader opportunity to connect to more people as well. So that's one, is this platform where people can connect. Mm-hmm. The second is creating events. We're giving people the opportunity to meet new people and learn something or connect in a different way. And my ultimate trifecta goal is when I can merge some of the community building events that Metro Collective is doing with the knowledge and expertise that we have in food, bev, and ag on the 29 Design Studio side. Mm. So perfect example of that coming together on, I think it's April 14th. I will confirm that for you. We're doing a packaging audit with the Rochester Commissary, which is an incubator space, so shared space community. They're powered by Metro Collective. And we'll do a packaging audit for them to learn how they can be more sustainable or cost effective or efficient in their packaging for the growth of their small business, which is going to help them hopefully sell more, get more repeat customers, you know, all of those great things. So that's sort of taking all of the things that I do well and balling it up into one beautiful thing.
One perfect, beautiful ball.
Yeah.
And I love the community. I was just playing around with it earlier this morning. There's fundraising opportunities, there's events, there's fireside chats. How does someone get synced in? Like, I know because I'm already part of it, but how does someone, you know, get into this community and start having these conversations?
Yeah. So the website is a perfect place to start, metrocollective.com. And so if you're looking for the virtual community, you can go there and, like I said, join for free. If you're looking for a shared space that you want to get into, you know, somewhere that's not your home and go out into a physical space, there's a map and a location search that you can find what space is best for you. And then also if you're looking for resources, you know, I'm looking for a virtual community for startups, which would be Startup Grind. And we partner with them on those fireside chats. Or I'm looking for an all women's community. You know, there's some virtual communities that are just for women. So the resource organizations section of the website is meant to point you to, I'm not really sure what's available out there. Help me understand what might be available to me. And maybe we can bubble to the surface some of the resources that are rich in our community and that people might not know about. One in particular that I love that we use for our clients a lot is through NextCore, and it's for food producers or food manufacturers. And they can get half of their marketing costs reimbursed back to them up to $15,000 through this NextCore program. Wow. So resources like that, that are available to people that if somebody didn't tell you about that, you don't know. So we want to make sure that things like that are clear and available to people to be more successful in the growth of their business.
This is amazing. You make it clear, you make it accessible, available. I know personally, like, I don't always have the best resource or the best recommendation. And it's when I surround myself with people like Maureen that I'm thinking like the whole life cycle. So there was a day where we would open a phone book and scroll through the phone book and then like see an ad and then maybe call the person that paid for that ad. Now everyone's on Google and there's places like the Better Business Bureau. This is kind of a sidestep, but you go to the BBB, everyone has an A+. You don't know what to select yet. Google is a vast wasteland. You don't know what's what. There's like 10 co-working spaces just on the front page. There's pages and pages.
Yeah.
So if I find that this is a struggle, I can just reach out to you personally and you basically will vet through based on what I want and need and my location and my alignment and my philosophies. You've already done all the research, right? So I just ask you.
Right. Well, the goal is for the community to get that support from each other. Like, the dream. Yes.
That's it's not just ultimately. Call Maureen. It's
Maureen's only got so much time, and I love to point people in that direction as much as possible. But the real rich benefit of community is that people can ask each other that support and then hopefully pass it on to the next person that, you know, comes to ask them a question. And it becomes, I mean, that's the beauty of an ecosystem, right? Is that they all support each other. So my goal is to use what I've learned from my lifetime of experience in building my business and running a co-working space to help set up the systems that other people are going to benefit from to get what they need and then pass it on to somebody else who's going to get what they need. And it's just going to grow out like this big spider web of resources.
Yeah, this big web ecosystem. I'm imagining like osmosis. You've got a happy, educated person working with other happy, educated people. And then through osmosis, everyone gets better. And before you know, you can just jump on the community, ask a question, and 10 people raise their hands to answer that.
Absolutely.
That's where we want to be, right?
And the impact of small businesses that benefit from that too, right? So right. Somebody who's growing their marketing business, you know, someone who's just starting out and, you know, needs some guidance there, they can pair up, and that's a win-win. And the reason that I am so passionate about helping to support small businesses is because they're the backbone of America. I mean, that's cliche, but it's true.
Yes.
Small businesses are what help enrich communities and make communities thrive, and not just the community that we're talking about in a system like Metro Collective has, but the places where we live and work and play and spend our lives and raise our families and live. And so small businesses make for successful communities because those businesses get larger, they pay salaries, they, you know, make for the place where you live and, you know, support artists to bring their art out into the communities, enrich the place we live. And so it really becomes part of a really rich ecosystem, not just in supporting thriving businesses, but smart communities that are great places to live and be.
I love this. And the thing about a smart community is it's not like Metro Collective is the end all be all. It's more so that collaboration of values and goodness that already exist, but it gives us a platform to meet one another, have our voice heard, build that community. What are some of the ways to do it? So I know there's events, there's fireside chats and fundraising. Mm-hmm. Where should we tackle? Let's start with like fireside chats, just because that's on my mind. What are the fireside chats you guys have been doing?
Yeah, so we partner with Startup Grind on those. And every month, basically, we interview a company leader or a founder or an interesting person on some topic that we think is going to be richly resourceful to our audience. And so a couple of the ones that I did last year, an old friend of mine, Annalisa DeMarta, she started selling products on Amazon way back in the day. I've known her for 10 or 15 years. And one, two, skip a few, literally went to, you know, it's a $25, $26 million company. And so, you know, we had a conversation really similar to this about how did you do that? What were the steps that you took? And that's something that, you know, a startup business can take notes about, you know, the aspects of her journey that apply to them for starting and growing their business and what she went through to be successful. And what she changed about that too, right? Like what sort of, I love the shifts that people make along the way from what they thought their trajectory was going to be. Mm-hmm. I think those are some of the most great lessons that people can learn. Another interview that we did was with Reeves Wiedemann, who wrote Billion Dollar Loser, which is a best-selling book about the rise and fall of WeWork and Adam Neumann. Mm-hmm. So that was wildly interesting, especially for our audience of shared space operators that are building, you know, shared space. There's a real estate element there. There's community building. There's, you know, all sorts of things that Adam Neumann did really well in the rise of WeWork and why WeWork was able to scale in the way that it did, but also kind of exploded it too. And the book goes into all that detail. And we got to get some of the story and the behind the scenes from Reeves about what it was like interviewing Adam and writing that story. And so for any of those events that we do, you know, you can attend in person and hopefully the value there is that you can ask questions live to the person that's being presented. We want to make those presenters available to the audience. So we do them live on purpose. And then we record them and distribute them later, which are available on the ideas section of the Metro Collective website. So anybody who wasn't able to catch the live can go back for the recording.
That's such a valuable thing to be able to go ask those questions in person. You can watch it. If you miss it, you can watch it. What a priceless service to have that kind of collaboration opportunity. How often are the fireside chats? Cause I want to go to the next like five. So,
so we do a couple events a month. So the fireside chats are on average once a month. We also do a couple pitch battles a year with, in collaboration with Startup Grind. And then we're working on a couple more events with the Rochester Commissary. Again, that's that little ball of just, you know, they're a space that's powered by Metro Collective. They're in food. So, you know, I love supporting that audience of food producers. And so that packaging audit that we'll do with them is in April. And then we'll certainly schedule more programming as we go later into the year. And so the other thing too, that I think is a big benefit of having the Circle platform, which is where all that community connection is happening, is that we have the ability to talk directly to our community and audience. So we can ask what, and we intend to, what kind of content do you want to see in the future? Do you want to learn about how to set up an LLC? And we could put an event on like that, or reach out to our community for someone that might be interested in putting that on. So another one that we know well, she's not formally powered by Metro Collective yet, but it's Marie Rochelle. You know her. She did one of these.
She did.
Yeah, she's just, I mean, talk about a firecracker and somebody who's so organized. She's launching Convergence co-working over in Hamburg in the Buffalo area. And she puts on a freelance business week in Rochester and Buffalo. So anyone who's in our network, who's wanting to learn more about freelancing, getting started with that, growing it, we can point them in that direction. So really, that's another part of, you know, collaboration and connection that's going to happen through that platform.
You're going to be speaking at that, right? Freelance Buffalo, Freelance Rock.
I think so. I told Marie she can sort of tap me for whatever she wants. So I'm not really sure what I'll be speaking on yet, but yes, I look forward to contributing some golden nugget.
Well, this is exciting for the both of us, and it's, I hope, pretty exciting for the listeners, because we're recording this about 3 weeks before it'll come out. And I put my name in the ring as well. So I'm pretty confident that I'm speaking in Rochester. We're going to do a podcasting panel.
And then great.
I'm speaking in Buffalo. And I think I'm going to be talking about, you know, collaborating and networking simultaneously, like really purposeful networking endeavors. Mm-hmm. But the schedule isn't out yet. And that actually is really exciting me, because I'm pretty darn sure by the time this comes out, that'll be in the show notes, because it'll be live and the information will be out. Wow. I'm just so excited. Like I took the entire week off, Maureen. I'm like, I don't, just give me as many slots as possible. I'll be there. It's going to be much fun. And I'm crossing my fingers. It should be in the show notes. If not, DM me and we'll let you know exactly that with the time it comes out. But I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. It's an important resource for freelancers to get support in that way for what she's putting on. And you mentioned collaboration and networking and how those are aligned too. I'd love to talk about that for a little bit, because I couldn't agree more. I think one of the tickets to what has won us some of the best relationships that we have has just come from me saying, you know, sending somebody an email and saying like, hey, I think what you're doing is really cool. Can we grab coffee and, or a drink or lunch or anything? I'm food and drink, you know, it's my
yes.
thing. So I kind of like to
love it,
go that way, but it's a great way to meet people. And those terms are so synonymous, collaborating and networking. Why don't you talk about that a little bit and some of the things that you've done and found successful about leaning into those things?
So I'm supposed to ask the questions. I'll give the most basic framework, and then I'm more curious of your thoughts and your experience in this. But what I invented, I call the CAN system, and there's lots of C's: create, connect, collaborate, content, community, and networking. And the term I like to use is creation-driven networking, where I don't network just to see how many business cards I can hand out. I network to try to sift through and find those perfect people to form a formal connection with, partner on an event, collaborate, and network simultaneously. So it's never, hey, my name is Ben. I have a marketing company that serves this, this, and this. It's, hey, my name is Ben. I have a podcast and I love what you do. I think you, this is easy because this is true, Maureen. Like, I think you add so much value to the community. It would be an honor if we could collaborate on a podcast or on an event, or maybe you can give me some info and I'll make an infographic, or I'm a photographer. I want to come and take pictures. I want to be a part of it. I want to do it together. I want to uplift each other together.
Right.
Where it's the opposite of transactional.
Yes.
It's the polar opposite of, and you know what happens for people that are revenue driven? Transactions happen. Because people like to work with people that are awesome, collaborate, you know, movers and shakers in the area. But the reason I'm having the conversation isn't to pitch you my product. The reason I'm having the conversation is to find a mutually beneficial way that we together can make the community better, that we can make both of us better. And that's just my philosophy on everything, Maureen.
It goes back to what I said in the top of this discussion about creative problem solving. My goal is creative problem solving. And that's exactly what you just described too. Of, I think what you're doing is cool. Let's figure out a way we can help each other and solve each other's problems. And that's, I think a unique way to kind of approach business. And you and I talk about it like it's something that comes naturally to people. And of course, you want to collaborate and of course you want to help support, but not everybody has that mindset. And that's another lesson that I've learned over the years, is to find out where the collaborators are, because that is something that I feel very strongly about, that frame of mind, to be more of a, how can I help you? How can we help each other kind of thing, as opposed to the transactional, you know, this is a business scenario and it's just business and what can we do here? But my heart is more in it than that. And my nature to collaborate, I mean, is stronger. And so I want to work with people that have that same sort of mindset. And you do too. And I think that that's why we sort of jived, you know, right from the first conversation, is that you can tell, you know, when people are like that. And for me, I grew up on a dairy farm. I think that it's one of the reasons too, that we ended up in food, bev, and ag, because I understand the industry, because, you know, my dad is a farmer and I grew up learning what it was like to support your neighbor. And I think that that's also come true in Metro Collective too. And in the, why I want to support and keep Port 100 alive and help, you know, other people have a place where they can get what they need. I think it all comes from those farmer values that you have to have when you're farming, because it's a survival thing. You know, I mean, to be able to go, you run out of water or you run out of hay, and for you to be able to drive to the farm next door and say, hey, can I borrow whatever? You know, there's a support from that comes naturally in trade and barter and being able to pull people together, that I think has been ingrained in who I am and is the major reason why I believe so strongly in the importance of collaboration and help as opposed to the transactional side of things.
I love that it's ingrained in you. Because your ability to help makes you a good leader for this cause. Because I would argue that we all want to collaborate. And a lot of people might not have that mindset yet. But as humans, just think about a time when you were traveling alone, or maybe you were separated and a stranger smiled and helped you out, helped you find a thing. Or think of a time where it's COVID and you're stuck at home and you go to the grocery store and you can see someone smiling through their mask. It lights us up. And for me, I'm a quiet person and I was reserved most of my life. But I found that when you send a collaborative intention, you start, you know, the Marines of the world want to help you. They want to lead you. They want to bring you up with them. I think a lot of people feel unworthy and they don't want to reach out to people that are farther than them in life, or talk to their boss and ask a question. They think they'll feel silly. I just want to set that intention and encourage people to just go try it. You'd be surprised at how many great people like Maureen are out there and the Metro Collective community that are mm-hmm. ultimately on board, waving the flag, excited that yes. you asked a question and wanting to help. That's your experience, yeah. right?
I'm so glad you just made that point, because it really is. That's such a core part of the heart of what Metro Collective was created to do. Is we started with shared spaces because my partner, Craig Webster, and I had personal experience in owning and operating shared spaces. So that was sort of the reason why we started with that. But what people who are working in shared spaces or who are interested in shared spaces, you know, like you work from home, but you understand the concept of co-working and perhaps it's intriguing in some way, have that collaborative mindset. They're looking for a space to share, a space to work together, to literally be around other people and maybe shake some of that isolation, even if they are shy. You know, or they just moved to the area and they're looking to make new friends. Co-working and shared space communities can be a great place for that too, and getting support from others. So the collective is meant to tie together all of those collaborative people, all of those people with that mindset that aligns with this method and intention to be supportive, to be collaborative. And I think that we're lucky to be in that network and helping to, you know, Craig and I to be building and supporting that network that can support each other, because I think it's just going to keep growing out from there. And to go back to what you were just saying about reaching out to others to get the support that you need, I remember in some of my early days when I was first starting, or before I decided to hire my first employee, I asked a lot of people, you know, is this the right thing for me? Is this the right next step that I should take? Oh my God, I'm going to be responsible for someone else's livelihood. This is scary. And by reaching out to other people that had done it, it took so much of the pressure away from it, right? Because I was able to understand a little nugget of this person's experience and that person's experience, and ultimately decided that that was the right thing for me, because I also listened to me. And that's the lesson that I think I've worked really hard to hone over the last 2 years in particular in working with my coach, is understanding how to listen to me and what I truly want and what my goals really are. And that's a lot of that is rooted in collaboration and giving back. So it brings me a lot of joy to create a platform like this where other people that are in shared space communities or aligned with that model, maybe they are a work from home or they're getting ready to move to the area, can get support, whatever that means for them, from the Metro Collective platform.
Mm. When did you realize that you were in alignment with this, that this was something you were passionate about? Obviously, it was ingrained from when you were a child, that community, that helpfulness, that caring on the farm. But did you have like a guide, like a hero's journey guide or mentor that taught you some of this stuff? Or is it just kind of just in your blood?
So I think some of it is I was feeling pulled to do something and I didn't really understand why. So when Port 100 Co-work in Geneva was going to close, because when it was started, it had budget and underwriting for the first 3 years. And then I stepped in to take over from there. And I knew that I wanted to keep it alive because it benefited me and it benefited all of the other businesses that were in there, which was 12 other people at the time. So I knew that it was really important to me to help support them, but I didn't really understand the bigger picture of that. And so it wasn't until I later, you know, partnered up with Craig and the co-work and then on Metro Collective and ultimately hired an executive coach to help me better understand my personal motivations and what my inner voice was telling me, that some of those connections started to reveal themselves. I also believe in building the plane down the runway. And that's a saying that I say a lot, because sometimes I think you're just sort of pulled in a direction to kind of follow something and you don't really know why. But it just feels like the right thing to do or the wrong thing. Those are both really strong things to listen to in one direction and the other. But so sometimes I don't really know why I feel compelled to like follow something or talk to someone or, you know, go in a certain path. And then it's sometimes later that the other shoe drops that I realize, I really love collaboration and connecting people and parts and pieces. And that's why I feel so strongly about the collective.
It almost sounds like you're trusting your intuition and then defining it afterwards. Like the definition is kind of not necessary. You can feel like I'm called to do this. We'll figure out the messaging later, but I'm called to accomplish this. That's a powerful thing because I think a lot of people struggle to follow that intuition.
Yeah. I aligned very strongly with that in my early days. So when I first launched 29 Design Studio, it started as a freelancing side venture. So I freelanced. It was just me and it was just me freelancing for 10 years. For the first 10 years of that whole company, that's what we did.
Right.
And then when I took the leap and went from freelancing while I was working a full-time job, I had just had my second kid and I figured if my life is going to be crazy, it might as well be crazy on my own terms. And so I left my full-time job. I picked up a part-time job and I started to continue to scale up 29. And I just kept like releasing some of those safety nets. So like I released the full-time job and picked up the part-time job and then I didn't need that anymore. So I let that go and continued to let 29 rise. And now apparently the next step was to, you know, be own Port 100 and then create Metro Collective. And so what is next? I don't know. That opportunity maybe hasn't fallen in my lap yet. I know that I deeply want to continue growing 29 Design Studio and taking on more national clients. We're really passionate about helping those businesses thrive and build their brands and grow their businesses. And so we really get to do that deeply with our relationships in food, bev, and ag on the 29 Design Studio side. So I look forward to continuing to do that. And then what does the 5 years from now me look like? I can't wait to find out.
I guess we'll see, right?
That's right.
This is controversial, but when someone asks where I'm going to be in 5 years, I'm like, I don't know. I actually don't really care. Like, I'm going to have an incredible day today. Tomorrow is going to be incredible. Yesterday was great. I'm better today than I was yesterday. 5 years down the road, I assume I'm going to be somewhere higher, but let's focus on building things now, right? You seem like you're the same way that you're falling forward and you're almost like attracting these opportunities, whether you know you are or not. So you don't know what you're going to be doing in 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that mindset, there's a lot of mindset that comes from a lot of what you just said and what I deeply believe too, that I have a positive and a confident mindset that we're going to be wildly successful with all of these ventures, you know, in the next 5 years and even more so in 10 and 15 and so on. But specifically, what does that look like? I agree. I don't really know either. And I think the other thing that, and I should have brought this up sooner, but surrounding yourself with a strong team, I think is the other thing. I did mention team early on in the call, but surrounding yourself with a strong, trustworthy team is one of the best things that I ever did. And also learning how to let go and delegate and trust that they are gonna, you know, in many cases do, which is absolutely true for my entire team, anything that I give to them, I am wildly confident that they're going to do it better than I could. And there's all sorts of reasons that go into that, whether it's skill set, you know, independent skill set that each one of them has, time, resources, energy, you know, all of those things. I believe in high quality work and I believe in being all in with what you're doing and creating, and everybody who's on all of my teams has that same mindset too, in that vein of mindset that we were just talking about and the positivity that comes from all of that. And so I think strong culture and strong teams and strong leadership and those things make for fruitful teams that help make me be able to do the things that bring me joy and make us all successful in the work that we're doing.
Collaboration, teamwork, teams, leadership. I'm imagining like a triangle, the typical pyramid. And maybe if you were to have to place people, maybe Marines at the top, but it's not super narrow and vertical. It seems like in 3 to 5 to 10 years, it's just going to get wider and wider and wider.
Yeah.
Where is it even a pyramid? It's more just a straight line where everyone's a go-getter, kick butt, kick-ass person. That's all bringing the leadership and the collaboration. It's not about you. It's about everyone, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally agree with that, that it's a straight line. It's not a pyramid. Mm. And I think the other thing too, like this all, I'm just listening to you kind of repeat it back and it sounds so kumbaya a little bit, you know, right? Like, oh, I can sound everybody's so happy and working together and mindset and like, you know.
S'mores and fires and dancing. Yeah.
And it's not without challenge and it's not without stress and it's not without difficult decisions. And I think that, you know, I know we've had to make a lot of those over the years too, but the tough decisions that we've had to make have led us to this path that we're on right now in the right direction and in the right way. And I've intentionally surrounded myself with people who I trust and I believe in, and they trust and believe in me, and we're all able to rise together as a result of that in our wonderful straight line, you know? But it's not without challenge. And I don't want to sit here and send the message that it was easy or that it was a straight path or that it was, you know, not without significant support from my colleagues, from my community, from my family. I mean, you know, I have a husband who supports with significantly more than half of the sustainability of the household and a 5 and a 7 year old that, I'm very happy to send to daycare, and you know, it's it all works together.
It works together. Let's be vulnerable and maybe talk about one of the challenges, you know, a roadblock, and maybe not something that you regret, but something that happened for you. Like, is there any challenges from the past that you're kind of happy you had that challenge and you're kind of happy you had to go through it? Does anything come to mind?
Well, so I was having a conversation with someone this morning that reached out. I guest lecture to the Hobart and William Smith Entrepreneurial Studies students to teach them about marketing and branding. And it's just a really fun thing. So
awesome.
One of the folks who went through that program reached out to me and asked for some time to kind of help him hone his career trajectory and the path that he wanted to go on. And we had a great conversation. But one of the questions that he asked me is similar to what you were just talking about. And he said, I sometimes feel hard saying no. Like, it's hard to say no when someone asks me something. And I think that's one of the hard lessons that I've learned over the last couple of years in particular, about the importance of saying no and or moving away from something that isn't serving you anymore and isn't in alignment with the direction that you want to go. I used to have a lot of feelings about that, you know, well, if I'm walking away or if I'm moving away from something that isn't aligned with the direction that I want to go anymore, and I have to let that person know, I'm going to let them down and they're going to have to, I'm going to inconvenience them and they're going to be disappointed and they're going to have to go, you know, figure something else out that, you know, we're not supporting them anymore, or, you know, just people that we're working with in multiple ways that maybe aren't working. And in what I have really worked hard to change my mindset on that is that it's totally neutral. And that's been wildly helpful, that it's not, I'm going to let that person down and I'm going to impact them in this way. And all of the many steps that I'm totally coming up with in my head that are not at all based in reality.
Right.
Just to instead intentionally change my mindset and literally tell myself, this is neutral. I think that it's best for both of us if we go in a different direction, and I'd like to help you. I'd like to help support that transition for you and for us. Neutral, right? Like that has been a very hard mindset shift to make. But it's been the most meaningful and impactful in the work that I do. Understanding when it's right to say no, listening to my gut when it feels like the right thing to say no, and really approaching decisions, conversations, conflict, opportunity, all of it in a neutral way has helped me find and listen to me about the things that are right for the direction that makes sense for us to go in.
It's insightful. I like the neutrality because you kind of have to take a step back and you're actually disserving, correct me if I'm wrong, you're disserving someone if you say
totally
yes to something that you can't deliver on or isn't a good fit for them. Mm-hmm. Like it's actually a disservice. And you don't have to be like, no, your messaging stinks, I never want to work right with you. You can neutrally move perspective and introduce mm-hmm. That's one thing that I come from a sales background. Mm. And a lot of times it's figure out their problem, solve their problem, make the sale. Sometimes the right thing to do is actually to make a recommendation mm-hmm. to the actual person that can serve them best and yeah. be willing to say no, be willing to be neutral. It's so hard to. I'm thinking though, let's you and I were both not single, but let's say you're single. You're not going to just go on a date
right.
with anyone who asks you. Yeah. Why would you do that in your business life?
Absolutely. Yeah. Or I equate it to like, I was just chatting in via Instagram with a friend about this with respect to nonprofits and volunteering your time too.
Right.
I don't have a lot of extra time. So when I volunteer my time, I want it to be valued and I'm happy to give it. I am a giver. There's a book by Adam Grant called Give and Take. If you align with this philosophy, highly recommend that you read that. I'm a giver. And so I just want what I give to be valued. And so what's so stressful to me, and not, doesn't bring me energy and doesn't, you know, isn't a positive energy in my life is when I'm donating my time and giving my time to somebody who's not valuing it. So I sat on a board for a number of years I was like 3 or 4 years in, and every single meeting I would come home and I would spend, you know, it was a monthly board meeting that lasted an hour. And then I'd come home and I'd spend an hour complaining to my husband about what was happening at the board meeting that I didn't like, you know, or was frustrating me. Oh, they're not listening. You know, why can't they see? You know, I'm trying to explain. It's not, he's like, why don't you just leave the board? I'm like, well, I made a commitment. You know, I told them I would join and I would stick around and everything like that. He's like, if they're not, you know, valuing your time and they're not listening to your contribution, what impact are you really making? And ultimately I left that board, which was a good decision. And, you know, I still serve my time on a number of boards and other commitments, that are a joy. And then I'm happy to sit and contribute and, you know, have my opinions heard or listen and, you know, hear the opinions of others and all of that that comes along with it too. But so all of that really comes down to the ability to say no, listening to, you know, what your inner voice is telling you about what the right decision for you is and approaching those decisions in a neutral way. And I wish that I could say that I had some revelation and all of these philosophies came to me, but it came from really hard work over a number of years with my coach, you know, that helped and still helps me be the best leader that I can be. I hired a business coach to help me understand how we could best position the agency for success, set up a leadership team that advises me about what the best directions for us are. And so I've intentionally surrounded myself with people that can advise me in the best direction because they know me best. Mm. And so, you know, I think that also goes back to what we're creating with Metro Collective and trying to help the community get those resources and people and support for themselves.
Maureen, you're amazing. So much insight. I know. So you're, first off, it's not beyond me. I know your time's tremendously valuable. So I am grateful you took the time with me today. And then obviously all the listeners as well. I want to get you out of here pretty much on time. But before we go, I want to do the rapid fire round. And it's a short, sweet. You can answer the question. You can skip it, fill in the blank, whatever you want. It's completely subjective to you.
Feels like a game show. I'm ready.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Beer or wine?
Beer.
Cats or dogs?
Neither.
Favorite season?
Fall.
Let's do favorite breakfast item.
Skip. I'm not really much of a breakfast person. I do eat a bagel often, but I'm not a big breakfast fan.
I literally skip breakfast. So I think it's funny that you skipped it, because that's what I would do. I would skip it. But I know you're a foodie. What lights you up? Any guilty pleasures? Any favorites? Any favorite local eats? Take it wherever you want.
I love a great, like, immersive food experience, especially if it's like a food and beverage pairing of some kind. I was at Fox Run Vineyards a couple weeks ago for a ports and sherry pairing with a food experience that they did there through Women for Wine Sense, which was incredible. Brewery Ardenne, which is down here in the Finger Lakes, has an incredible food and beer pairing. Just there's a lot of those around here in this area that do that really well. And I love a well-rounded experience like that, where just, I don't care what you put in front of me, as long as it's delicious.
I'm with you. I do not discriminate. If it's delicious, I will take it. I will love it.
Yeah. One of my dreams is to, I'm a big, like, brown liquor fan. I love whiskey and bourbon. Okay. And so one of my dreams is to go down to Kentucky and learn more about, you know, like Tennessee, and learn more about whiskey and how it's made and everything like that. And there's some distillers who make it here in the greater Rochester area too. I'm a big fan of Iron Smoke whiskey over in Fairport, but experiences like that too, agritourism, where you're learning about, you know, an agricultural product and how it's made, and the on-farm experience from that perspective, especially when you can consume the output, I think is always a remarkable experience.
We'll talk offline. I've got some Nashville suggestions for you. Ooh. And this sounds like an awesome trip. So sign me up if I can come. We'll do one more. What are you learning right now? We'll go with that. What's exciting you right now? What's new and exciting that you're learning?
So my big goal for 2022 and 2023 is to do more speaking engagements. So thank you. You just checked one off the list for me. Thanks for having me today.
Awesome.
So learning how to kind of position the knowledge that I have and the unique experiences I have to uniquely present that to an audience in some way is something that I'm trying to lean into and understand, so that I can start doing more traveling and speaking on a national stage, which is aligned with us actively seeking more national clients on the 29 Design Studio side.
Right. I see big things for, I know you already see it for yourself, but I see big things in your future. I see big things for 29, Metro Collective, everything that you touch. Tell us one more time how to keep in touch, whether it's social media, the website, phone, email. What should be our next step today?
LinkedIn is the best place to follow all of the things. And so it's Maureen Ballatore on LinkedIn. And just let me know that you came from this podcast so that I can add you to the network. And I just ask that you don't try to sell me something, at least until you take me, like, for coffee or beer or wine or whiskey first, and then we can make sure we're aligned.
Yeah. See, reach out to Maureen if you're aligned with this message. If you're here now listening, I presume you are. So reach out with love, reach out with collaboration. Sounds like you and the entire collective is excited to get to know everyone who's listening right now. So I encourage everyone to do that. Well, thank you. Anything else? I think this was awesome, and I look forward to the this is brand new, right? We're just getting started.
Yeah, Metro Collective just launched officially. We've had some beta testers in that community for a little while, but it's just celebrated its official launch. So go check out the website and join the community, and hopefully you can make a new great connection there.
I need to get a soundboard because I have cheering sounds going through my head. I wish I could just press a button and it would go like, ah. So everyone at home.
Could you add that in post? Just add that in post. Like,
I definitely could. I'm definitely going to use some like cheering firework emojis when I post
love
this.
It. And I love it.
We'll add some sound effects in the future, but.
Great.
Till next time. Thank you, Maureen. And we'll be in touch.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.